September 2008. Lehman Brothers collapses. Markets hemorrhage value. Ordinary investors panic sell their retirement accounts. Yet in a Manhattan boardroom, 11 partners gather around a table, eyes gleaming. They're not mourning losses. They're calculating entry points. Their target? A German broadcaster they once owned and sold at peak prices. Now, with panic in the air, they can buy it back at a 75% discount. While the world burns, they're planning to triple their money. This isn't reckless gambling. It's the essence of private equity, a $12 trillion industry built on a deceptively simple formula. Charge 2% annually to manage money, take 20% of the profits. 2 and 20, three words that have minted more billionaires than perhaps any business model in modern history. Yet here's the paradox. Every firm charges the same fees, but performance varies wildly. Some consistently deliver returns that make pension managers weep with joy. Others barely outpace basic index funds. The difference isn't just financial wizardry. It's the people, their temperament, and the cultures they forge in the crucible of billion-dollar decisions. Private equity has quietly become the best game in town, and most people don't even know they're playing. When banks retreated after 2008 under crushing regulations, private equity firms morphed into shadow banks, filling financing gaps traditional lenders abandoned. They moved into infrastructure, airports, toll roads, utilities, taking over what governments once managed. They expanded into credit, real estate, technology. Today, they touch virtually every corner of the global economy, yet operate largely invisible to the public eye. Concentration of power makes private equity work. A $10 billion fund operates with just 20 partners, making crucial calls. When assets double to $20 billion, they add maybe 10 more. Decision-making stays nimble. Top talent now chooses Blackstone and KKR over Goldman Sachs, creating a self-reinforcing vortex. The counterintuitive advantage: illiquidity becomes an asset during volatility. When markets crash and mutual funds face redemption stampedes, private equity funds sit locked up for years, immune to panic. This forced patience creates stability and often superior returns, justifying fees exponentially higher than passive index funds. David's first day reveals the reality behind the global projection. Despite hundreds on payroll, vital decisions on $30 billion rest with perhaps 20 deal partners. The founder, worth $3 billion, strolls past security without removing his custom sunglasses as bankers part like the Red Sea. By 11 a.m., orientation ends. David's staffed on Endgame, a confidential project developing permanent capital platforms, tapping retail investors through 401k plans. Stock markets value stable management fees over volatile performance fees. Despite ethical concerns about ordinary workers' retirement savings in complex products, these initiatives could dramatically boost the firm's stock price. Consider PharmaCorp, a market darling that evaporated $100 billion in 12 months. Its strategy? Acquire drug companies, slash R&D, jack up prices. It worked until price gouging accusations and accounting irregularities emerged. The house collapsed. Meanwhile, a private equity firm quietly studied the pharmaceutical landscape for years, attending conferences, hiring veterans, building financial models. Learning from PharmaCorp's implosion, they refined their approach. Carve out older medicines from giants, acquire distressed debt at discounts, move quickly. The result? A signature deal announcing their arrival. This is what private equity actually does. Not just financial engineering, but developing 360-degree understanding, sector dynamics, competitive landscapes, technological disruptions, regulatory shifts. Lean teams of three or four professionals manage billion-dollar investments, running countless scenarios and stress-testing assumptions. The structure resembles a pyramid: analysts crunching numbers, deal quarterbacks orchestrating transactions, partners making final calls. Yet teams operate with surprising flatness: open doors, calls at any hour, shared accountability. Communication follows strict hierarchies. Face-to-face for confidential matters, brief calls, emails never containing negative content. The most terrifying message David receives his first week? Simply, let's chat. 12 weeks after acquiring plastics for $400 million, disaster strikes. Aggressive headcount cuts trigger strikes, delayed orders, and lost customers. The company burns cash rapidly, needing an urgent $50 million infusion. The founder's terse email, "Sounds like a problem, TK," signals potential catastrophic failure. The deal team structures a two-shot capital infusion protected through debt with strong covenants granting extra power if deterioration continues. At the investment committee meeting, the lead partner takes full accountability. No corporate cover-up, no blame shifting. This demonstrated humility and hunger earns the founder's approval. Private equity professionals have personal equity in outcomes, creating an ownership mentality absent elsewhere on Wall Street. They act as if they personally own the businesses, working intimately with management while maintaining analytical detachment when necessary. When deals go wrong, they negotiate aggressively with debt holders, cut costs ruthlessly, and fight for assets. September 2008, AIG collapses. Panic sweeps the insurance industry. Most investors flee. Private equity sees opportunity. The deal team proposes acquiring General Insurance Group, a sprawling, opaque business spanning Chicago, Bermuda, and London. Market panic has created a buying opportunity. Through intensive due diligence, 12 actuaries and specialized attorneys examining every contract, they uncover a $300 million balance sheet surplus extractable as post-acquisition dividends. Efficiency opportunities abound. Consolidate 6 underwriting entities into 2, eliminate corporate jets and expensive sponsorships, address 4-day work weeks and easy bonus targets, scale back overfunded pensions, outsource IT. Most significantly, General Insurance holds a $3 billion float of client premiums, earning minimal returns. The firm can manage these assets through its credit funds, dramatically increasing yield. Being debt-free, the company can issue high-yield bonds, financing additional dividends. Together, these moves return over 50% of the initial investment within 12 months. Masters of private equity actively seek chaos and complexity where others see only risk. Their approach isn't gambling, it's methodically breaking complex situations into controllable levers through natural aptitude and learned experience, embracing the unknown, executing logical plans, admitting knowledge gaps, and partnering with management through emotional intelligence. Private equity operates through concentrated power. Ultimate authority rests with key employees, senior partners with the strongest track records, and major ownership stakes. A tiny number of private individuals control hundreds of thousands of employees and communities through portfolio companies. When senators, Fortune 500 CEOs, and Hollywood moguls regularly pass through your office, you're wielding systemic influence. Two junior associates working late on the Food Mart deal discover that successful private equity requires genuine business transformation, not just financial engineering. The firm leverages Food Mart's real estate to recover its entire equity investment within 6 months through dividends. When operational changes stall and an online giant acquires a competitor with aggressive pricing, they pivot quickly. Rebranding as Farm Fresh, with emphasis on fresh produce and community values, they achieve soaring loyalty memberships and a successful IPO. Tech partnerships enable pandemic-era home delivery, tripling the investment within 2 years. Success doesn't repeat automatically. Their next investment, a European retailer rebranded Organic Foods, applies the same strategy but drastically underperforms. The deal partner responds defensively with unrealistic scenarios instead of solutions. After losing committee support, the investment is sold to a SPAC, barely recovering invested capital. The lesson? Private equity masters focus relentlessly on returns while staying flexible on execution. There's no magic formula, only principles, adaptability, and relentless execution. Playbooks guide but don't guarantee success. Each investment requires crafting unique value creation plans for specific circumstances. At Davos, the founder faces CNBC after a brutal year of regulatory breaches and misconduct allegations. He pivots masterfully, announcing plans to double assets beyond $1 trillion and achieve S&P 500 inclusion, a private equity first. His predictions materialize within a year. The ultimate strategy emerges, offering private equity vehicles directly to retail investors. After regulatory approval, retail money floods in. The founder remains factual about success, working 12-hour days, driven by patient but insatiable thirst to win. For private equity masters, winning isn't optional, it's essential. Without generating promised returns, retirement systems might as well invest passively at a fraction of the cost. Deal teams continuously question whether each material point can be improved, driven by unyielding desire to optimize everything. In a world dominated by algorithms, private equity remains stubbornly human. Success depends on exceptional risk-return analysis and stamina to nurture decade-long deals. Private equity already shapes our economy, touching everything from groceries to infrastructure. The question is whether you understand the game being played with your pension, your retirement, your economic future.